Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the Billboard Chartfeed Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard Senior Director of Charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
We just happen to have a couple of co-hosts with us this week that happen to be the Goo Goo Dolls.
How are you?
Good. How are you? John Resnick?
Yes, that is me.
Robbie Takis?
How are you?
Welcome, guys.
Thanks, man.
Good to be here.
You just performed for our staff, and we're going to play that at the end of the podcast. Two things. That's going to be the most people we've had at a performance coming out to see it. Probably the loudest. And you guys sound amazing.
It's amazing when the memo comes down from the boss, how many people will show up.
We didn't have to be there.
Nah, it's okay. I appreciate it. It was nice. It was fun.
So new album, Miracle Pill, is out this Friday, September 13th. Mm-hmm. You guys have been together 33 years. And what's interesting to me about that, among other things, is you're really a part of people's lives at this point. So maybe at the beginning, you're just putting music out. You don't know where it's going to go. But at this point, when you put new music out, do you get that sense that this is the next chapter of your life being shared with all your fans?
Yeah. You know, it kind of becomes, if you're going to decide, I decided if I was going to be a songwriter or whatever, you know, I was going to have to change as I went along, you know, and be open so that I can learn and I can keep putting stuff out that has some sort of relevance, you know, because we could have gotten caught in that trap of like, yeah, you know, let's just pretend it's 1998 for the rest of our lives, you know, and I don't want to do that. I'm very grateful for the success that we've had over the last, you know, 25 years, really. It's been 23 years, 24 years that we've had a lot of success. But, you know, it's fun to be able to still create music and have it received pretty well by most people.
When you first broke through with the first big hit name in 95, 96, to a lot of people, you're probably this brand new band, but you guys had already been together about a decade at that point.
Yeah. Well, it's always that way. The 10-year overnight success.
Yeah.
But thank God we didn't get big quickly.
People have said that.
A, our songs suck, you know,
you can say that.
Songs kind of suck.
And B, we were crazy, you know, we were just kids, you know, that playing for a case of beer every night, just waiting for the whole thing to implode. And, you know, all of a sudden it's 10 years later, it hasn't imploded yet. And you're like, wow, maybe we can really do this.
You know? I mean, there was a point in time where I was like, I didn't want to play just like this straight punk rock thing because it was just, you know, the punk rock thing was supposed to be about individuality and freedom to speak your mind and do what you want. And it just wound up being a fashion statement with a lot of rules attached to it. And that got very uncomfortable. And I'm like, you know, so I was like, I don't know if you can use dirty words on your podcast, but I was like,
let him fly, man.
I was like, fuck this shit. I'm going to be myself, you know, and because at the end of the day, that's who I have to look at, you know, and that's who I have to live with is me, you know, and people gave me shit because I wrote a ballad. Oh my God, you guys suck now.
But that was super early on, you know, like, like, you know, within, you know, I mean, we're putting ballads on the record within, you know, the first 5-6 years of being in a band together. So it wasn't like anything that was,
right,
you know, foreign to people. It's just that it wasn't necessarily what people knew of us, you know.
Some jealousy, maybe,
until
too.
But you guys had that? I don't know, you know. I mean, that was an interesting conversation I had with Pat Monahan from Train, you know, and he was like, the thing about the hip-hop world and the pop world and that is that they all get together and they have the same goal in common. Let's go get that dollar. Let's do it together. We'll figure out how we're going to split it up later, but let's go get it. And the big thing with a lot of bands that we sort of came up with, everybody was sort of like kind of, I don't know, sort of like everybody was sort of protecting their turf and not wanting to share it. There was a distinct feeling of just competition rather than camaraderie, you know, in a lot of circumstances. So, and I think that was part of the reason that it kind of killed off a lot of bands, you know. And the other thing too is that, you know, if you're going to be a musician, you're going to have records that are successful and records that tank, and you have to have, you know, the courage to continue on in the face of failure, you know, because you fail a lot more than you succeed. You know, artists are very sensitive people, and some of them just can't take it. They'd rather not create than fail at it.
Right.
Yeah, you can't.
So it's
like
you have to redefine your parameters of success, and you know, so
you can't be like super attached to the result.
Right.
Like you got to be attached to what you did. You know, not like what happened.
And rock, rock is kind of weird too. Where it maybe is the only genre where you get that backlash when you succeed at least a little bit more. It seems, yeah. In like REM, it was they sold out. Mm-hmm. They have hits now.
Well, I mean, once Michael Stipe stopped mumbling, it was it was all over. But yeah, I mean, I think people, because we were definitely doing this thing where everybody looked at it and went, oh yeah, we could do that. You know, which was, and people enjoy that. And then it's like, they get comfortable with that.
You know? I mean, we were like indie critic darlings, you know, for 8 years, 9 years, you know.
Pitchfork would have loved us.
Yeah, if they existed. But I think, you know, as it moved on, people want you to be their little special thing. They don't want to share you,
right.
You when know, you have with to, everybody else.
Like, yeah, it's like when it, for lack of a better term, sort of drifts into the mainstream, people get very offended by that. Some people, very small, my vocal minority. And it's always a very vocal minority. It's like the fringe elements are always the ones that are screaming the loudest,
yeah.
You know, and everybody else, you know, for the most part is rooting for you, you know?
We've tried really hard just to let this thing happen,
right.
You know, and we've had the luxury of seeing what happens over decades when your band stays together. And I think a lot of the people that listen to our music and started out listening to our music when they were in college or they were in high school when we were in college, you know, I think they grew up too. So I think a lot of those people kind of did come along with this, oddly. You know, like they're not all, you know, not all those people that were listening to, you know, the Ramones only in college are that way today.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you grow up, your opinion changes, your life changes. And yeah, the fact that a lot of our audience has been able to make that journey with us, or like when people, every day, someone comes up to me and says, you know, hey man, that song really helped me through a difficult time, or that's mine and my wife's song, or, you know, this song means something to me because of, and it's humbling to hear that. To know that you're like you're part of somebody's life, something, you're something special in somebody's life, even if it is for 3 minutes.
And when some middle-aged guy comes and tells you, you know, hey man, my mother and my kid and I come see you every single summer, you know, it's like you're like, wow, man, that's okay, that's a trip. You know, we got three generations here. You know, it's exciting.
So, John, you have a 3-year-old, almost 3-year-old,
two and a half. Well, she's going to be 3 December 22nd. Yeah. So, poor kid, she's, you know. Too close to Christmas. Sorry, kid.
Oh, that's a shame.
No, she's spoiled.
Is she old enough to think what you do is cool or not cool?
I don't know if she knows what's cool and what's not cool, but she loves coming out on the road with us.
Yeah.
She loves running around on the stage during sound check, and the lighting guy will like make the lights go crazy, and she loves it. She loves it. She's just crazy for it. And she knows my music because my wife plays it for her all the time. And I don't want to be there when she's playing it because it's embarrassing to me. But when my daughter hears me singing, she knows it's me. So.
Right, it's your voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but if I sing to her, if I pick up a guitar and sing to her, you know, in front of her, she's just like, no, 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 daddy, don't.
Your songs are so ubiquitous on radio. You must hear them all the time yourselves. Do you guys listen? Do you turn away? What
is it like? I change it.
Really?
I change it. Unless it's a new song. And I just want to hear how it sounds on the radio. But, you know, I always have this dreadful image of me like driving down Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles with the windows rolled down and our song comes on and I'm sitting there listening to it and some guy will pull up next to me and see, hey, it's that guy from the Goo Goo Dolls. He's listening to his own music. What a jerk. So
I don't listen to the radio much, but no. You know, but like Home Depot, Wegmans, you know, you know, that kind of place, you know, you hear,
does it get you a discount?
You hear it an awful lot. No, we're really popular in Home Depot, though.
Yeah,
all the workers seem to really dig the band.
I mean, it's kind of got to bring a little smile to your face, like oh, there it is, like to still know, yeah.
Yeah,
well, I always go, you know, be grateful.
Yeah, I say a little
be
prayer.
Be grateful.
For sure.
Because it's like, you know, somebody said this to us a long time ago. They're like, you can go back to the factory anytime you want. You can go back to digging ditches anytime you want. You know? And if this awesome life doesn't suit you anymore, well, get out of the way because somebody else wants it. Someone else will be grateful for it.
Yeah. That's probably one of the biggest lessons I guess you could teach a band, because it's, you guys almost make it look easy. Obviously there's the talent, the songs you've written and your musical talents, but to be doing this 3 decades in, to still be on Warner Brothers, still renounced, you outlasted the name Warner Brothers. Now it's just Warner. You've outlasted the label name.
All of the Warner Brothers.
Pretty much.
They're all dead now.
Just one Warner left to go.
One Warner.
Talent appreciation seems like a pretty good combo.
You gotta work. You just gotta keep working, and that's all there is to it. And it's, you know, we live in an age right now where everybody just gives up so fast.
You don't get rid of the horse when they can still plow the field for you, man. So we're still plowing the fields for them right now.
And that's a beautiful
thanks,
culture.
So, some listener out in Nebraska knows what you mean.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So new album, Miracle Pill, talking about your daughter, John, one of the songs, Fearless, is about her growing up. And you've said.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of, yeah. You know, the guy that I wrote it with, his wife is expecting a kid. We found ourselves sitting there talking about kids a lot.
Scary time to be raising a kid? More than
I mean,
ever,
you know,
in some ways?
My parents, it was a scary time, you know, when during the Cold War when you could, you know, well, you can still have an all-out nuclear war happen. Doesn't seem to really be on anyone's mind lately, but, you know, that threat never went away. Just got replaced by the Taliban or whatever, you know? I mean, that's the new boogeyman. Well, actually, that's the 20-year-old boogeyman. I think that one's sort of getting lame. I can't wait to see what they're going to unveil for 2020.
Hey, Taliban, we're back in the news this week.
Yeah, they sure were.
Just, yeah, man.
Yeah, they were.
Hanging out at Camp David playing badminton.
Making a comeback.
There you go.
Making a comeback.
The reunion tour.
Unbelievable. But you know, yeah, I mean, it's I worry about what kind of world is going to be out there just because of the ever-increasing amount of inequality and the obsolescence of human beings, the automation, you know, of every job that's out there. And it's like, you know, I'm not making any political statements, but I don't believe that, like, factories all over the Midwest of the United States are going to be full of happy union workers, you know, building cars and TV sets. I think that it's just going to be a bunch of robots. And they're going to, you know, I believe that work gives purpose to life, you know, and what's going to happen when, you know, when that purpose and that drive is gone. I don't think it's going to be, you know, I mean, I don't believe in a purely capitalistic society where it's all very laissez-faire. And like, if you, you know, I think healthcare is a right, not a privilege. I think a good education is absolutely necessary. And it's the only way up. I think that was one of the biggest things that made our country great. And we just see a constant rollback on these things. And, you know, what was it? It's like four guys have more money than the poorest half of the world or America. That's just unbelievable. Because it's like the economy isn't good for everybody. You know, I mean, I know people that struggle every single paycheck, and they go a little further in debt every single month trying to keep up. And it's, you know, it's the chickens will come home to roost is what I feel. And I don't feel like the answer will lie in choosing a political side, because they're all the same. You know, my statements aren't political anymore. They're more social and or maybe a commentary about the system that we're living under. Maybe it is time to change the system that we live under.
I was going to say, who fixes that? Is it people rising up?
We need pitchforks. We need some pitchforks.
Workers of the world, yeah. Baby.
Well, no, because people are starting to be, I mean, you know, people try to fan the flames of like these, you know, the xenophobic hatred and all this kind of thing. It's like, yeah, you know, black people and white people hate each other now, and you know, women hate men, and we're divided along all these things. It's like, and the whole time we're all fighting amongst each other, there's a few guys just hauling all the money in,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. like, you know, riding their yachts out to the Hamptons.
You know, there's so many issues that are 50-50 in this country right now. For some reason, everything's 50-50. So the swing's always like 52, 53,
51% is a mandate.
We're not that far from 60. Once you hit 60, you win. You know what I mean? Like, because you can't fight it, man.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just time for something like that to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's common sense is bound to take
common
over.
Sense of it. And it's like, and it's like the natural, I don't know, you know, just sort of the, I don't know, too much fear out there.
Well, this went
too much fear.
Then.
I mean, I was standing in front of an audience, and there was maybe 12,000 people there. And I looked out into the audience, and we were playing a song, and I thought to myself, theoretically, half this audience voted for Hillary Clinton, half this audience voted for Trump. But they're all singing the same song. Everybody's getting along. And I think that, like, music, you know, especially things that you have to do where you are in legitimate contact with other human beings, and you can smell them and hear them and touch them, you know, is really, really healthy, because we are pack animals, and we do need to touch each other. We do need to be around each other. We need to have the hassle of human contact.
And the differences are so dictated, so obvious right now. I think we need to find things that are the same and kind of work outward from there a little bit.
Can we just find the similarities?
Yeah, and then
let's
work
start
outward,
from
man.
There you know, and have a civil discourse.
Yeah, there's no talking right now.
You know?
I think social media and all the ways we communicate electronically really plays into it. It's so easy to be angry at someone.
Yeah, or, and mean. Yeah. Without any consequences at all. It's like,
I mean, you know, used to be when you lipped off to the wrong guy, you got punched in it.
Yeah. Well,
now
you know,
it's like, well, you know.
There's a reason why people say, look me in the eye and say that.
Yeah.
Right. You know, because much you know why? None of that stuff would get said.
Much harder to lie to someone's face.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. It's you can.
Well, unless, of course.
It's been done. it's being done.
But it also plays into that fear element, too. Like, I think now that there's so many, you know, digital profiles and traces of people, you know, that, I mean, you know, they can find you or whatever, they can, you know, disrupt you or whatever. I think that, I mean, that makes it, you know, these government, these big companies.
We are living in the post-privacy world, but so continue with what you were saying. Interesting.
Well, I'm saying to that same point about, you know, why, you know, what keeps people sort of worry day to day, not just the anger part of it, but I think there's a lot of fear that, you know, for people who do understand things are bad and rise up, but there's a very, you know, no one wants to be that first guy to go out there, because if nobody follows you, you know, you're the guy who gets disappeared.
What they call that? A leader with no followers is a guy taking a walk.
You know? you know, I think both sides, they both have their news sources, so they're both hearing what they want to hear, and it's like, you know, like I said, there's got to be something in the middle that joins us all together. I'm hoping it's music, art, things like that, things that come from your heart.
It's going to have to
I think.
And it's going to have to be, you know, look, we just got to lay down all the petty sort of grievances, you know, and realize that this is class warfare. This has nothing to do with anything. It's about the distraction. Divide, conquer, take the money, you know.
Now, to your point, Robbie, you mentioned about, you know, music and art might be things that unify people, but a lot of people might think that too has become polarized. If you look at a Beyonce formation, for example, and, you know, oh, she's in the Black Panther costume, and, you know, what's she trying to say? And, or even a Taylor Swift, you need to calm down.
Yeah,
and, you know, they're all making, you know.
I think, you know, people make statements and such. I think people misread statements. I think people make a big deal out of things sometimes that maybe weren't meant to be. You know, as controversial, you know, as they're put out there to be. But I don't know. I think you can find those things, you know, that people do from their hearts, you know, a songwriter, you know, a song that someone loves, you know, it's going to cross boundaries, you know, and it can only help.
Yeah. I mean, it's so strange, you know, now because I feel like, America, I mean, going back to the album, sort of the unintended sort of themes that popped up in the album. You know, America has been, ever since 9/11, for two decades, you've just had a country that's been living with this low-grade anxiety and PTSD kind of ish symptoms, where it's like, you know, we've been in two wars, the economy was destroyed by a bunch of crooks. You know, I mean, we're just – and now, you know, it's all sort of culminated into where we are now, and God knows what the hell that is. But you know, eventually it's like people are going to burn out. They're just going to get sick and look at you and go, what's my problem? You know what I mean? Like, or what's your problem? All right, let's figure this out. You know, this album was about making connections and losing connections and trying to be part of something with purpose. That's kind of like, those are the things that I've always longed for. You know, it's like I was out on my own at 16 and, you know, the things that I crave most is connection, human connection. You know, I don't need to have 10,000 friends on Facebook.
Yeah, like you said, somewhere you said, I just want three friends, three good friends.
Mm-hmm. Three really good friends that I can call on moving day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we got one down, two to go.
He ain't going
to
help me move. He's lazy and rich. He ain't going to help me move.
But I guess with the element of Miracle Pill and connections, it's you know, it's not going to happen overnight. Nothing's overnight. We don't fix this. But you're saying you make these connections, maybe it builds into something.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not hoping to change the world with this record.
No.
I don't think, I mean, I think, you know.
But it's part of the, but
But, I think some people are going to relate
to it.
It's
part of it. It's part of it. You know, I mean, the whole thing, it's part of the whole thing.
If I stay on an honest footing with my writing and that, even in collaborations and that, it's like I won. I did my job. I won. I mean, you know, that's all you can do and just keep going.
So you guys do have success. If you guys know, Iris is the longest running radio hit ever. It's number one for 18 weeks on a radio songs chart. That record still holds today.
You're looking like you don't know that.
You didn't
know that? So I just found that out now.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's some legs.
Did it ever surprise you then? Does it surprise you now that it became that successful? You guys did it in the performance. We're going to hear it at the end. People just, it connects with people.
Yeah, that song changed my life. You know, changed my life. Literally.
I knew it was pretty big. I didn't know it was that big.
Pretty crazy.
When you wrote it, did it feel like, okay, we've got another big hit here?
It was in an interesting time in my life, you know. And it was amazing because the piece of the film that I wrote the song for was amazing how it was kind of paralleling where I was at in my own life, you know, where I was separating from one marriage and kind of starting another relationship. And it was, it was intense because it was like there was so much fun, but there was so much pain and bitterness along with it. And it was just the environment was just ripe to create something like that, you know. That was a stroke of luck, you know.
Well, congratulations on all the success. The new album, Miracle Pill, is out. Future of the band, future of rock and roll. What do you guys see?
Future of rock and roll.
You seem hopeful about everything.
Yeah, some kid is sitting in his or her bedroom right now with a guitar or a piano or a harmonica.
Or a laptop,
and they're writing the song that will cause the paradigm shift. It's inevitable.
And how we treat each other.
It's, you know what we got? That's all we got is each other.
John, Robbie, thank you so much.
Thank you. Cool.
What I need is a feeling incredible. What I need is a true love chemical. I wanna be like a heart that's painted in gold. Here we go. Wanna make these emotions physical. Feel the weight on my soul ethereal. I believe I'm alive no higher than low. Here we go. So baby, would you be my miracle pill? I could be somebody else. So sick of living inside myself. All of my life, all of my doubt, all of my ups keeping me down. Starting all over. Like a heart that's painted in gold. Here we go.
Thank you. Anyway, this song is called Indestructible. I was searching for anything but me. I was waiting for somebody to feel what I feel. I guess everything I knew fell apart. All around me, I was running from something inside of my head. You were the sum of gold. I was broken into, now I can feed it again. Love on that way to hold. I could be the dance on your dark side. You could be the light in my black nights. I could see myself in your wild eyes. You could take the weight of my soul. First, we gotta play an old one. Hey.
at you, 'cause I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't wanna go home right now. 'Cause all I can taste is this moment, and all I can breathe is your life. So when sooner or later it's over, I just don't wanna miss you tonight. I don't want the world to see me, but I don't think that they'd understand. Where everything's made to be broken, I just want you to know I am. Fight the tears that ain't coming, or the moment of truth in your lives. So when everything feels like the movies, yeah, you plead just to know. I just want you to know who I am. Oh, I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't want to go home right now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.